Come on, they do. Just take care of your dad when you're old, right? When I'm old. So, but Jesus, when he was born, he had the cross. The cross was his future. And so as we gather together to celebrate Christmas, and we should, thank you for being here, we have to remember that Jesus was the only baby born whose purpose was to die. It wasn't to live, but it was to die. It was to die for you, and he was to die for me. And so I want to read you that wonderful story that you know. It's called the Luke 2 narrative. It's the story about Jesus coming and being born. Let me read it for you. It says, "And it came to pass, in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Now this census first took place when Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was great with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, laid him in the manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were very afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God, saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" If you find yourself here this evening, like every other Christmas, wondering if something purchased, something bought, something you can achieve, a title you can acquire, if you're here tonight finding that that's really what it's all about. Now, you wouldn't philosophically say that, and in polite company, certainly you wouldn't say that. But if you're here thinking, you know what, this Christmas has already failed to deliver what I thought it should, well, I want to ask you to think about something for a minute. Think about Christ and what he did for you 2,000 years ago. Think about, as we go to the table of the Lord in just a minute and have communion together, just think about what Jesus did for you. Let that be transformational in your life. And I promise you, if you'll do that, embrace the Lord fully and completely, you know what? This will be the greatest Christmas you've ever had. I guarantee it. Amen? And amen. Well, we're going to have communion tonight together. There's no better way to celebrate the Lord's coming than to remember what he did for us. So if you're part of the communion team, if you could take your places, please. Guys, if you could come, take your places. As they're coming, let me just mention a couple of things to you about communion here at Grace. We are an interdenominational church. That means we are glad you're here, regardless of where you come from. And so if you know the Lord, you're welcome to the table of the Lord tonight. It's the Lord's table. It's not my table. It's the Lord's table. It's not the church's table. So if you know Christ, you are welcome at the table tonight. We offer communion a couple of different ways. One is called intinctions, where you'll take a piece of bread, you'll dip it in the cup, and you'll receive it very quickly right there. And then the other is the cup method right there. There are two cups. Make sure you grab both of those. And when you get back to your seat, you're free to receive communion. Let me tell you a little bit about what we believe about communion. We do not believe that elements transmute or change. But we do believe, along with people like John Calvin, John Knox, the Wesley brothers, those guys, that there is a unique presence of the Spirit of God during communion. We know this because in 1 Corinthians 11, the scripture says that many came to the table of the Lord in an unworthy manner, and some sick, and some even fell asleep. So we do believe it's a profoundly spiritual time, that the Spirit of God hovers very closely. I've been in ministry about 30 years, and I'm telling you, I have seen God move during times of communion like never before when people come to the table of the Lord. So if you're here today and you have a struggle, you have an issue, Christmas would be better if God would just settle in and fix something, this is the time to ask. If you're here and, man, you're really struggling with what's going to, 2019 is going to look like, can you believe it's 2019 already? Anybody freaking out on that? Man, I'm telling you, when you have more years in your windshield, you know, your rearview mirror than you do your windshield, it just seems to go faster and faster and faster. And I mean, it's 2019. So if you're sitting here thinking, man, 2019 could be sort of rough, this would be a great time to take those concerns to the Lord. If you have someone who's sick, someone struggling in your family with a health issue, this would be a great time to ask the Lord to heal. If you have friends and family who are far off, away from Christ completely, this would be a great time to ask the Lord to draw them near again. Jesus came 2,000 years ago to demonstrate God's perfect love for us, and he died on the cross to seal us, secure us a home in heaven for sure. Pray with me if you will. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the scripture says that many came to the table in an unworthy manner, and they were sick and some passed. So I wonder if you would take just a moment there and use this as a time of confession. Just confess, Lord, I'm sorry for the things you have done and the things you didn't do that you know you should have. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 11:23, for I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread, and we had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Father, you've heard the confession of your people tonight. Father, you've heard every heart. You've seen every thought. Lord, you were aware of it before they were even thought. And so, Father, we thank you for forgiveness that's certain and secure in Jesus. So, Father, those who did confess sins, we thank you that they're already forgiven. And now, Father, we thank you that we have the privilege of coming together around the table. Lord Jesus, thank you for your body that was given and your blood that was shed. As we come to the table, Father, I pray you would speak to each and every heart and mind in a profound way. May they encounter you, Lord, in a supernatural way right now around your table. Father, we believe this to be true. We believe it will happen even now. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Stand with me if you will. This is how we'll sort of do it. This side sort of migrate this way. This side migrate this way. You guys in the middle, eyeball it. And we have a table in the back too. So if you're in the back, we do have a table in the back. Come to the table.
Stars are brightly shining.
Has everyone had the opportunity to receive communion this evening who desires to do so? Just don't want to rush it. We have just a few more, I think. Okay. All right. Okay. Great. Thank you so much. Well, we're going to be off in just a minute. Many of you are going to be going home and having family time, friends over. It's going to be a wonderful night. Some will be doing all that tomorrow. But I want to encourage you, between now and the morning, can you separate yourself for just a minute? Can you still yourself before the Lord for just a few minutes and thank Him? Thank Him for the life you have in Christ. There's nothing greater you can do at Christmas than become thankful for what Christ did. Just separate yourself. Spend a minute and just thank the Lord for His goodness to you. I'm looking around a room with a lot of great people. A lot to be thankful for. So make sure you take the opportunity and do that this evening before you go to bed. Amen? Amen. Stand with me if you will. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And we'll be finished. Well, Father, thank You for today and Your kindness and Your goodness. Thank You, Lord, for this evening, for this Christmas Eve. Father, I thank You that all over the Christian world, Your people are gathering in churches of various names and denominations, but we're bound together by the reality of Jesus. Thank You for that. And now, Father, as we leave here, I pray safety on each and every person. Many will have family still coming into town, and some will hit the road even tonight going somewhere else. So, Lord, we just pray for traveling grace and traveling mercy. Father, if someone's leaving this building today and Jesus, You're no more than an idea to them, I pray through the power of the Holy Spirit that their life will be challenged and changed. Holy Spirit, speak to them even tonight. Jesus, thank You for Your life, for Your death, for Your burial, and for Your resurrection. Thank You for the reality of this season. We love You so much. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And let me say, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Be careful.